George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez ignite the screen in this criminally cool crime caper from director Steven Soderbergh. Meet Jack Foley, the most successful bank robber in the country. On the day he busts out of jail, he finds himself stealing something far more precious than money, Karen Sisko's heart. She's smart, she's sexy, and unfortunately for Jack, she's a federal marshal. Now they're willing to risk it all to find out if there's more between them than just the law. Screenwriter Scott Frank earned an Oscar nomination for his slick, snappy script based on a novel by Elmore Leonard. The stacked cast includes Ving Rhames, Don Cheadle, Dennis Farina, Albert Brooks, Nancy Allen, Catherine Keener, Isaiah Washington, Steve Zahn, Paul Calderon, Luis Guzman, Viola Davis, Wendell B. Harris Jr., and uncredited cameos by Michael Keaton and Samuel L. Jackson. From 1998, 123 minutes, out of sight. Clooney plays the bank robber Jack Foley. He is very good at what he does. This is what he does for a living. The opening scene, he storms out of a building and immediately he goes and robs the bank across the street. And the way he does it is he observes around the bank safe room area, looks at somebody with a briefcase, goes up to the teller and be like, "Hey, that guy over there with the briefcase, he's with me. And if you don't give me all the money behind the counter there, he's going to pull out the gun and shoot you in the head. So what are you going to do?" kind of thing. So he's very smooth about it. George Clooney is very charming in this film. I want to say this is like the beginning of George Clooney's stardom, being like the sexiest man alive, coming off of ER. I mean, he was about to explode. And Steven Soderbergh, he'd done the indie films, Sex, Lies, and Videotapes. He would go on to do like the Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, those films. And you kind of get the style of the Ocean's films in Out of Sight. The way that it's shot, the way that it's edited, the way it's put together, and with the cool ensemble and the quick dialogue, you get that kind of flavor. Who better than to counter George Clooney than Jennifer Lopez, who also at the height of her career? I don't think this is necessarily a big box office smash, and it's certainly one that I don't hear a lot about anymore. The material's there. This is an Oscar-nominated script. Great script, and I think Soderbergh is at his best when he's given the proper material. Jennifer Lopez's character immediately senses the connection with George Clooney, but she is hesitant. She's a U.S. Marshal. She's tired to stop these kind of guys. And there's a scene early on where they're stuck in the trunk, and you can tell there's chemistry there, and they kind of share important things like favorite movies and sort of like, you know, things that they have in common. Then they part ways. Later in the film, there's a Clooney is robbing another bank, and who's in the lobby? Jennifer Lopez. And they share this glance at each other as Clooney goes up the elevator. You know, she's questioning, like, what do I do about this? This is crazy, you know? And so they toe the line between will they, won't they? All in while, you have Clooney's buddies, led by Don Cheadle, that are his friends from jail, and these different personalities, and there's a lot of funny stuff that happens. Chases and heists and different types of setups. Don Cheadle is so good, so funny. This leads up to this crazy climax that I think it's very satisfying, but you're not sure how it's going to end. You're left like rooting for Foley to get away with the crime and then Lopez to catch him or them to be together. You're kind of, as an audience, you're like, well, who do I root for? You like all the characters. All the characters are very likable. If you're into those kind of crime capers, you know, there's some Bonnie and Clyde here. I'm not going to lie. There's a little bit of that. You got some Jackie Brown here too. I think this definitely fits well with the Jackie Brown universe as far as Elmore Leonard being the source material. And then you have a certain character show up, played by Michael Keaton. I don't want to spoil too much, but Michael Keaton shows up, plays the same character from Jackie Brown. So you have that connection. So this is definitely in that world. It's a nice little crime, drama, comedy, romance, all in one for 2 hours. It's quite a ride. And this is a 4K from Kino Lorber. It is a brand new HDR Dolby Vision Master, approved and color graded by cinematographer Elliot Davis. And I have to say, this movie looks fantastic. The colors really pop, the details. There's a scene at the hotel with candles, and outside the hotel you see snow falling. You can really see the details of everything happening in the frame. The hotel, the bank lobbies, the vibe of Miami and Florida, it's all there. It's all good, man. It's all, colors are just well balanced. This is the best that's probably ever looked. I don't know, I haven't seen this movie before until now, but I would imagine this is the best we're going to get. As far as the sound quality, the sound was really good. I mean, it's not an Atmos track, but it's a really damn good mix. You really hear gunshots, you hear all the crazy action, and it really pops. You know, I didn't have the volume up too high or anything. It was just right. Let's get into some special features. There's audio commentary by director Steven Soderbergh and screenwriter Scott Frank. Inside Out of Sight, an original documentary of the making of the film, so that's nice. Deleted scenes, and two theatrical trailers. I feel for a fun crime film with a little bit of a strong chemistry from the cast and Soderbergh's direction. I think it's his best movie. Check out Out of Sight. Let me know what you guys think below in the comments. Sylvester Stallone puts the boxing gloves away in this movie called Nighthawks. Sylvester Stallone and Rutger Hauer starring in this riveting story of suspense and intrigue that takes you on a pulse-pounding chase through London, Paris, and the streets of New York, when Europe's most feared terrorist explosively announces his presence in Manhattan. Two elite undercover cops are assigned to stop him before he strikes again. But the ruthless terrorist has other plans for the city and the detectives. One thing that I think is missing from like the marketing of this is Billy Dee Williams. Billy Dee Williams plays Stallone's partner in this, and they are Manhattan special detectives, undercover detectives. We start out with a woman being harassed in the street of New York. Turns out to be Stallone's character. They're undercover, and they catch the criminals together, Billy Dee and Stallone. So they establish the chemistry between the two of those guys right away. And their captain is Joe Spinelli from the Rocky franchise and Maniac. Oh man, I was totally into this. This movie is freaking awesome. But then we go to Rutger Hauer. Rutger Hauer from Blade Runner. He plays the terrorist over in London, and we see that he is not messing around. Yeah, he bombs a store, he leaves something in the store, and it blows up. Rutger Hauer does not care. He says, bring it on. He hangs out at these nightclubs in public. Like, nothing bothers him at all. He's a big womanizer. Wolfgar is his name. Wolfgar is Rutger Hauer's character. Wolfgar visits Manhattan, and Stallone and Billy Dee Williams are on the track. That's their big deal. That's their big task. They're after him. And there's a confrontation early on where Stallone spots Wolfgar at a nightclub, and they do this whole thing in the 80s, like a Rocky IV type thing, where you get the Draco meme where it kind of zooms in. So you have Hauer and Stallone looking at each other, this zoom in. It's kind of sounds corny, but it really works in the film. Hauer gets away after this crazy chase. The whole movie is like, most of it's shot in New York, and you really get the gritty vibe of New York City from the 1981. You really get a feel for like a time capsule of what it was like in the 80s in New York. I really like that aspect of the film too. New York is a character in this movie. Gritty feel, there's cool one-liners, Stallone has great delivery, Billy Dee and Stallone have great chemistry. Hauer is awesome as the villain. Another crucial scene is when Stallone faces Hauer. He can't shoot him, he hesitates, and that ends up costing Billy Dee Williams. He gets injured pretty severely. That's a big conflict in the film, where Billy and Sly have a little bit of like, you should have shot him. I couldn't do it. So they have a little falling out. And there's an extremely satisfying ending to this film. I had a good time. This is from Shout Factory, part of the Shout Select line. We may see a 4K. So it's got some new interviews, but it's just mostly with people that are behind the camera, producers, director of photography, and then there's a theatrical trailer. So not a whole lot here. I would like some stuff from Stallone. I know he's posted on Instagram about really enjoying his time working on this film, so I would have liked a little interview with him or Billy Dee Williams. Yeah, if you're into that like early 80s vibe, you know, just coming out of the 70s where you're getting a little bit of 80s flavor, but you still have the grittiness of the 70s blended in, that's what Nighthawks is going to provide you with. And let me know, guys, if you've seen Nighthawks and what you guys think. Alright guys, this is Columbia Classics 4K UHD Collection Volume 3. Unfortunately, I recorded one, but it didn't record because I didn't press record. But here we are, round 2. And unfortunately, mine has come damaged. So I can probably fix it with some glue, but it definitely is damaged. Well, let's get into it. So, the movies this time for Volume 3 are It Happened One Night. Classic Clark Gable movie. Pull the cover off, you see one of the original posters. This is a great movie. They're all great movies. This is why it's called Classic Collection. but it's nice to have these on 4K. Next one is From Here to Eternity. It's one I haven't seen. I'm excited to see it. I heard this was like Frank Sinatra's big comeback as far as acting. So I'm looking forward to getting into this one. There's the cool cover. The discs. The back. And To Sir with Love, Sidney Poitier. One I haven't seen. I'm excited to watch it. And these will all be reviewed in the coming weeks on here on Return of the Disc, so you're going to want to make sure to be looking out for that. On the second side, we have The Last Picture Show, classic Peter Bogdanovich movie. I have the Criterion, but I'm really excited to check out this 4K. Some new features. And they said there was like 35 minutes of features as far as the whole collection, so I'm really... really excited about that. I'm not excited that my collection is broken, but here's Annie. It's a hard knock life, right, Annie? I was in Annie in elementary. I played a bum. Today we're living in a shanty. That was my big line. And last but not least, As Good as It Gets, one of my favorite movies of all time. The reason I really wanted this collection. To have As Good as It Gets on 4K, and it's here. It's one of the few films to win for Best Actor and Best Actress, win the Oscar. So I'm really excited to have this here with some new special features. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, and there is a hidden thing behind here. Oh, it's a book. Cool, let's check it out. Alright, we have a book. Hardcover. Very cool. Defining classics. Table of contents. This is something that you'd put on a coffee table, it looks like. Really cool. Little profiles of each film. And this is pretty long, so that's nice. Nice to have. Oh wow, behind the scenes stuff. There's Jack. There he is. Very cool. So yeah, this is an exciting set from Columbia Classics. I'm a little annoyed that it came broken, but hey, you know, roll with the punches, as they say. So, yeah, look for some reviews in the coming days, and let me know below if you guys picked it up. We deal with people telling us what we can and can't do on a daily basis. We have certain rules, certain things to abide by, you know, what is publicly safe for children to see, or video games are bad, influence on violence, you know, it's been going on for years. This movie tackles it head on. It's called Censor. This is a release from Vinegar Syndrome. I believe the Blu-ray debut, and this is a hard shell cover. I don't have the wrong movie. These are movies within the movie. So, Ascender, and then Beastman, and then we see Censor, the Blu-ray right here. Not there. Nice booklet inside. Reversible cover. Once again, great packaging from Vinegar Syndrome. They always do a fantastic job with these releases. Enid Baines, a film screener at the BBFC, has earned an unsavory reputation for being the organization's strictest censor of violent films. Unexpectedly, Enid is contacted by Frederick North, a notorious director for exceptionally brutal, low-budget horror movies, who has requested that she personally review his work for classification. While viewing one of North's films, Ina is struck by its narrative similarities to the disappearance of her own sister years earlier. But when she finds another of North's films which stars a woman who bears a striking resemblance to her sister, Enid's life begins spiraling out of control, sending her on a mysterious and terrifying journey into the dark and violent recesses of her past. Censor, from 2021, 84 minutes. This movie takes us back to the glory days of VHS. The aesthetic of this film, shot on 35mm, the use of lighting and the way that even the framing, the aspect ratio, the lighting, the colors, all set this mood of intensity, paranoia, claustrophobia, kind of on edge. There's a whole thing about, you know, these movies that are coming out low budget, considered video nasties. Video nasty was something that was like low budget, usually horror, exploitation, hardcore, you know, violence, blood, gore, like that. And these things were popping up at video stores, and the media ran with it, newspapers ran with it, especially in the UK. They blamed the video nasties for crime rising and all this stuff, you know, rock and roll is bad, guys, you know, kind of thing. So this movie goes into that, where we follow a censor who watches all these films and kind of gives her rating, gives what they should cut out and what they should leave in and type thing, you know. So we get that kind of feel in the start in her office. She goes through the films, and then she's contacted by this famous exploitation director, Frederick North, and watches one of the films. And there's a scene early on where Enid has dinner with her parents, and they're trying to convince her that her sister is dead. And there's a death certificate and everything they show her, but Enid's convinced that she's still missing. She's still out there missing. So we get that layer of Enid in there as well. Anyway, she's triggered by North's film. You know, the whole idea of this movie, what happens to the censor after watching all this stuff? So if it's true that violence becomes more rampant because of the art, because of what's on the movie, because of the violence in movies, in TV, in video games, what happens to the people that watch that stuff and give the ratings? They go into that, and they go into like the deeper demons of the censor. She becomes so paranoid and so complicated and dead set on trying to figure out the truth behind North's film. Is that really her sister? What's going on? So she goes to even North's house and confronts him, and things happen. I don't want to spoil too much, because there's some shocking stuff that happens in the third act that I think is highly rewarding if you don't know much about it going in. The aesthetic of this film is fantastic. Like I said, it was shot on 35mm. You're really thrown back into that retro feel. Let's talk about the director. Brando Bailey Bond. This was her feature film debut. Wow, she really knows what she wanted to do. She really knows how to command a scene, how to direct an actor, how to visually express what she wants. The use of color, it's very much like a giallo film. The high pinks, the high color contrast. You have greens and reds and all these different things. And then you have the sound design mixed into there. Really gives her some nice jump scares and also some shocking visuals that, you know, I would compare to like Stanley Kubrick. So you get a little bit of the Shining vibes in here. And I'm not just talking about the act. This was a fantastic horror film. Probably one of the best horror films that I've seen recently. So let's get into some special features. This thing is loaded. I gotta say, this is like taking a film class on horror. So if you want to do it right, this is how you do it. Special features include commentary with director Prano Bailey Bond and cinematographer Annika Summerson. Commentary with historian and author Kat Ellinger. Interview with director Prano Bailey Bond. This interview was great. She really gives her explanation on what inspired her for this. You know, she really went back into the video nasty era, did her research, based it off of like, well, what if there's a woman censor? Because usually there was male censors. So she's like, what if there's a woman censor? And what happens to her with her own trauma, bringing it into her work life, that kind of thing. So that kind of elevates the material. This thing even includes like one of her early short films, My Nasty Memories, a featurette with David Gregory on Video Nasties. So you get a little history of Video Nasties in here. There's a 16-page booklet with an essay. Like I said, Censor is a fantastic horror movie. I highly recommend it. Let me know your thoughts if you guys have seen Censor. This has been Return of the Disc. I'm Dan. For more Return of the Disc, visit returnofthedisc.com. Check out the audio version of today's show, available on all major podcast platforms. And be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel.